from KQED.
KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. I'm Michael Krasny. In his first State of the State address on Tuesday, Governor Newsom had bad news for high-speed rail proponents. Citing mismanagement and cost overruns, he said,
"Right now, there simply isn't a path to get from Sacramento to San Diego, let alone from San Francisco to L.A. I wish there were."
He went on to add that there were funds to finish a 119-mile Central Valley portion.
"We do have the capacity to complete a high-speed rail link between Merced and Bakersfield."
We'll hear from proponents and opponents of former Governor Schwarzenegger and Brown's grand vision for high-speed rail and about the future of the bullet train under Governor Newsom next, after the news. Welcome to this morning's forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Governor Newsom has put the grand vision of high-speed rail between San Francisco and Los Angeles on hold. The announcement came in Tuesday's State of the State address, where Newsom committed to 119 miles of high-speed rail between Merced and Bakersfield, but pulled back from former Governor Jerry Brown's larger plan, citing cost overruns and mismanagement. President Trump has weighed in. In a tweet yesterday, he wrote, "California has been forced to cancel the massive bullet train project after having spent and wasted many billions of dollars." He went on to demand that the state return $3.5 billion owed to federal government for the project. "Fake news," Governor Newsom responded. "We're building high-speed rail, connecting the Central Valley and beyond. This is California's money allocated by Congress for this project. We're not giving it back." We're going to discuss the new direction for California's high-speed rail under Governor Newsom with KQED News editor Dan Brecke, who joins us here in studio. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Michael.
We also want to welcome Egon Terplan, former forum intern, in fact, who is now regional planning director for SPUR, San Francisco Bay Area Planning and Urban Research Association. Welcome back.
Good morning, Michael. Good to be here again.
Good to have you back with us. Jim Patterson will be joining us later in the program, California State Assemblyman and Republican, who has been against this project for a long time. And let's begin with Dan Brecke. And Dan, let's just talk about what's certain. What's certain, I guess, is that we're going to go the first leg of this journey. But the governor's left it kind of ambiguous whether he has long-term plans.
Yeah, there aren't too many stories where people will look at the very same set of words, and one interpretation will be, he just pulled the plug, and that's the way it's reported. And at the same time, people will say, he's going ahead. This is, you know, rah-rah, it's going to happen. So, but this is exactly what happened, because, you know, you said, you started by saying what's certain is this segment that he says that the state will build. And I would actually back up from that a little and say what's certain, I mean, if you're really skeptical, is what's built out there already. And there's actually quite a lot of infrastructure going in. You know, there is a...
Excuse me, there is one other thing that's
sure.
We're going to go through the environmental reviews. That's stipulated in the federal funds.
Yes, it is. And a lot of people feel that should have happened already. But to back up, I mean, the state is sort of locked into a couple of things because of Proposition 1A, which passed in 2008, that created the $10 billion pot of money, or, you know, bond money for rail construction. And then there are the funding agreements with the federal government. So far, California has gotten $3.5 billion in grants to make the project happen. But the nature of both the state funding and the federal funding have been problematic. And the federal funding specifically that the president is talking about was given with the idea that, you know, it was to fund construction, and it was to fund construction by a date certain. And originally, the state was supposed to decide what it would spend this recovery money on by the end of 2012, and then it would have whatever it was going to build built by the end of 2017. It chose to use that money for high-speed rail, and it couldn't get it done by the end of 2017. So now the state has an extension till the end of 2022. But here's the thing. The president says, it's our money, give it back. And the governor says, we won't give it back. And neither one of them is right. Because if the state can't get this segment built by the end of 2022, they very well may have to give the money back. if they and most of it's spent already.
Well, it's pretty clear that the president may want it now for his wall, right? I mean, which is maybe I mean, people are concerned about when he talks about drawing back, for example, the disaster money, that we're going to lose money in the state that we go to wildfire.
Well, you know, I don't I mean, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I don't credit the president with that kind of strategic thinking. I think this is a tantrum he's having, and this is something he can use to beat up California and Newsom, who just, by the way, said we're going to take the troops off the border. We're going to take the National Guard troops off the border because it's a manufactured crisis, manufactured by the president.
But we're getting such different reports here, as you said. It depends who you talk. You have Phil Ting and Scott Wiener saying this is not a done deal. We're going to go ahead. We're going to eventually build this the South and through the Bay Area. And then you have people like Kevin McCarthy saying, well, you know, it's about time that we finally pulled the plug on this, and the plug has been pulled.
You know, the project has been a lightning rod for a lot of criticism just because, I mean, it's weird that it's partisan. But it has become a partisan thing where conservative Republicans especially—
Why do you say it's weird because it's partisan?
Well, because it's a piece of technology. It's a piece of transportation technology. You know,
so about everything is partisan these days.
Well, I know. And it's partisan because of the money, obviously, not the technology. But, I mean, there's been such rooted Republican opposition in the Central Valley to this. And it just, you know— It doesn't quite make sense that it's broken down. What I mean is that it doesn't quite make sense that it's broken down in this partisan way.
Let me go to Aga Turplan, who, again, is Regional Planning Director for SPUR, the San Francisco Bay Area Planning and Urban Research Association. He's with us in studio. And Aga, it started out $32 billion to do by 2029. It went up to $77 billion to do by 2033. And, well, Governor Newsom said there's no path. He did use those words. Why are you still optimistic that this is going to happen?
Well, I think one of the things we all forget is that major infrastructure projects take a lot of time to do, and they're always incremental. Interstate 5, which people use daily to go north and south throughout the state, wasn't built in a single project. It was built over time, and there were stretches that were complete without roads crossing them. And high-speed rail and rail projects generally are going to have the same kind of a phenomenon, where you're going to build them bit by bit. So I'm optimistic, and I think we're optimistic, because the governor made a very, very important point in his speech that I think has been glossed over by a lot of media coverage. He said that this is so much more than a train project. And this is something that we have been arguing for a long time, that this is really about how do we set a different vision for the economy of California, how we grow as a state, how we align our workforce and transportation systems. And high-speed rail has been this lightning rod. It's had a target on its back. But what's been missing in a lot of the conversation is last year the state came out with a state rail plan that had a vision for integrated passenger rail that was clean, that was electric, that was integrated with all the different rail systems that we have. And that's ultimately the direction we're moving in.
You're talking about this really in terms of, and Governor Newsom was economic development. Let's hear a cut from the governor on that.
You can't say this enough. The high-speed rail is more than a train project. It's about economic transformation. It's about unlocking the enormous potential of the valley.
So there it is. I mean, that's essentially what you say. Passenger rail electrified. That's what it's all about.
Well, and that's a piece of we have to electrify passenger rail, which is part of California's climate change vision and this sort of a commitment to that as well. But also, I think in what he said, this is about a pivot to the Central Valley. It's about a focus on the part of the state that's really been left behind in a lot of the economic transformation we've seen along the coasts.
There's a lot of disappointment there now, though. I mean, because there were retailers and there were people talking about Silicon Valley technology moving there and all kinds of transportation that would suddenly enhance everything. This is on hold. All this is in limbo now.
Well, I'm not sure if I would agree with that exactly. I mean, a lot of that has been happening. If you go to downtown Fresno, there's a whole series of startup technology companies that have been happening even without the fast train that takes you an hour to get to San Jose. So the transformation is starting to take place, but what needs to be matched with that existing ongoing kind of economic growth that's taking place in those communities is a larger state vision, new tools for the cities. We have to kind of step back and remember that a lot of the economic development tools cities have don't exist anymore.
I was reading an editorial in the Fresno Bee, though, and there's a lot of lamentation going on. And, I mean, how could this be an economic boost to the Central Valley if the rail isn't connected to economic hubs in L.A. and the Bay Area?
Well, I think that gets to the question of is the governor and is the state making a long-term commitment to actually connecting to the coasts? And so that gets to, Dan, what you were saying, how do we interpret this both ways? He is saying we're going to connect it beyond. And so I think that's sort of on all of us collectively to say, if the idea of rail across California is a good idea, which I would argue that it is, we would argue that it is, we have to complete the project. We have to complete the continued segments of it, but really start with where we've done the construction. And one of the things, maybe, Michael, that's also relevant, certainly people can feel a sense of disappointment that it's not the grand vision, but the amount of job growth and economic development that's been happening in the Valley just as a result of all the construction infrastructure spending is not insignificant.
Well, what about the money? Let me go to you on that, Dan Brekke. I mean, Governor Newsom said that he'd push for more federal funding, difficult time to do that, but he also said private investment. We heard that from Jerry Brown, too.
Well, more federal funding at this point is not in the cards, most likely. Maybe in a few years when somebody else is tweeting from the White House, there will be more likelihood of that. You know, it's a tough thing. I mean, I talked to somebody from a transportation think tank back east yesterday, and he said, listen, essentially what the governor has decided to do here is stop pretending that he can find $65 billion or maybe it's a bit less than that on his own, or the state can do this on its own, and then really focus all their energies, all the state's energies, on getting this one segment built. And like I said, the state is facing a deadline to get that done, so it is under pressure. So where this money comes from, I mean, the governor, I think, was purposefully vague. California is a very wealthy place. Voters in various parts of the state and statewide have shown a huge commitment to transportation. Los Angeles County, for instance, passed a $100 billion sales tax a couple years back. We're going to see something of a massive scale in the Bay Area, and high-speed rail could very well fit into this vision of a bigger Bay Area transportation funding plan that's coming up. So, you know, it's a little bit imponderable, although one thing to point out is the piece of the project that's actually funded is not from Merced to Bakersfield. It's from a slightly shorter segment. And the governor or the state is going to have to find a little bit more money to build out to Merced to Bakersfield. So, you know, these challenges will just keep coming. And there's been consensus from the state auditor, for instance, that, you know, the High Speed Rail Authority just has not done a very good job managing its funding so far. And the circumstances, being forced to do construction to meet federal deadlines, has put them behind the eight ball as well.
Yeah, the Rail Authority Chief Dan Richard, in fact, was replaced, and there's been a lot of concern about accountability and about mismanagement. I think Jim Patterson has some strong feelings about that. He's California State Assembly member, represents the 23rd Assembly District, serves parts of Fresno and Tulare counties. And Assemblyman, good to have you with us. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Appreciate the invitation.
Well, from your perspective, they never had the land. They never had the money.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the damning findings of the auditor made it very, very clear that secretly, back when the Obama administration gave billions to California, there were constraints, guidelines they had to follow.
This audit was last fall, just so listeners know what we're talking about.
Yeah, this is a high-speed rail audit. Look, those of us who've been at Ground Zero, we've known that this has been the problem all along. They did not have the property. They pushed the money out, and the auditor concluded that the delays and the cost overruns were directly attributed to that reckless and, in many instances, secret decision-making. Those of us in Central California, we saw an awful lot of earth-moving equipment sitting around in big parking lots for a long, long time. So problem number one is what the auditor discovered. But I just think we've got to be very, very clear on this. There is only enough money to build the initial operating system. And your previous guest hit it on the head that this is from just outside Madera to just outside Bakersfield. And the idea that all of a sudden we're going to find another big pot of money somewhere to get it to Merced I just think, again, is wishful thinking, and it's a fairy tale. Whether the governor says one thing or even tries to do another, this project ends. And it ends when it runs out of money, and it runs out of money building the section from Madera to Bakersfield.
What about, I've got to ask you about economic development for the Central Valley with high-speed rail. It's your district. Your thoughts on that?
Well, economic development makes sense if the economic development plans actually materialize. I'm terribly disappointed because we are the canary in the coal mine in this. We have been the guinea pig. And quite frankly, thousands of acres of prime agriculture have been torn up. Our city is being torn up. We have some of the ugliest homeless encampments perched on high-speed rail-owned property. They have turned out to be, one of the biggest slumlords in our town. They don't do the responsible things with what they've done. And to suggest that leaving us this way and with a rump railroad that basically goes from Madera to Bakersfield, that's not economic development. That is an embarrassment, and that's a failure. The happy talk really has to end. I mean, a lot of us in Central California that are getting really tired of the drone videos over these monoliths of concrete. If they don't do anything, and if they don't connect to anything that is important, they're nothing but monuments to failure.
Let me just ask you also, Assemblyman Patterson, about the mismanagement. There's been a lot of criticism of Governor Brown. In fact, I wonder if you're in agreement with the idea that he accepted Rail Authority versions of fixing all problems for the past 6 years and probably really messed up that score?
Well, for us, at ground zero on this, we're way past the finger-pointing and the blame and whether we think high-speed rail was a good idea or a bad idea. What we are now left with is a reality that it's a rump railroad and that we have a city that has been ripped up. We have agriculture that has been seriously damaged. The trade-off was supposed to be this was going to be a remarkable thing for us. And what are we talking about right now? We're not talking about high-speed rail from valley to valley. What we're talking about is picking up on Amtrak somewhere near Madera, I suppose, and then going up to Tracy or up somewhere there in slow speed rail and then going over the Altamont Pass. And we're supposed to think that that is the kind of transformative connection that we have been promised. There's another big issue here, and the governor has not touched it, and it is the federal audit.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you, should the state give the money back to the feds, your judgment?
It's not about giving it back. Let me lay out what we're looking at here. It is a federal audit. That federal audit is being undertaken right now. The state auditor discovered this horrible secret decision that was made that caused all of these delays using federal money. That is now public information, and I'll bet you that's going to be a significant part of the federal audit. And when the federal audit, and if it does, conclude the same thing as the California audit, it's not going to be about whether or not Governor Newsom says we'll give the money back. The feds will then have the basis, in fact, to claw back that money. And they can take it from highway funds. They can take it from Medi-Cal funds. Either California, if this is the verdict, California is going to have to write a really big check back to the feds, or we're going to see the feds claw back an awful lot of money. We still have to wait to see that shoe drop and how serious that audit is. But if the California state auditor is any indication, we have much more trouble ahead. What that means, I think, is federal money then becomes utterly an impossible task. And then I think it also sends a horrible signal of mismanagement to private investors. Who is going to come up with billions of dollars of private risk money when you're dealing with a high-speed rail authority that has blundered so often?
Assemblyman, let me go to Egon Terplan, who's here with us in studio. He's pretty optimistic, and also I'd like you to respond to what he has to say in response to what you've just said. The concern about money here is pretty clear from the Assemblyman Egon, and he's saying we're in real trouble here. I mean, the money is probably maybe going to be, I use his word, clawed back by the feds.
Well, I mean, I can't speak to what the extent to which there'll be the negotiations between the state and the federal government, but recognize there are billions of dollars in hand to continue this work for a number of years. And I stated before that large-scale transportation projects take place over time. So the sense of crisis that there's no money to do things, there is money to continue this work. There is a question of where will the funding be to extend it all the way into the downtown Bakersfield station and certainly north. But I think that is why we are continuing to try to dedicate money to this project over time. I want to pick up on something that the assembly member mentioned around the connection to Amtrak trains at the northern part. There is a rail system that already exists today throughout the Central Valley that's one of the most well-used train systems in the country. And part of the idea of high-speed rail or, frankly, dedicated passenger rail is to get the trains off of the freight tracks onto their own alignment. And that's exactly what's happening with these investments. So I think what we can over time is continue to upgrade those pieces that you would connect with coming north from Bakersfield, whether it's Madera or Merced. Merced, there was an idea to connect that further north all the way with the ACE trains, which do come into the Bay Area today. So I think we have to see these as steps towards a larger vision.
Incremental. Assemblymember, you say what to that incremental vision? Step by step.
I'm going to try to be kind on this. This is the kind of nonsensical happy talk that we've been having to deal with in Central California. The bottom line here is the money runs out. And unless this gentleman has the key to some vault at the Capitol where billions of dollars are going to be spilled out, this thing ends with the expenditures in the initial operating segment. He fails entirely. He's suggesting that there's negotiation with respect to the state. There is an audit coming. It will be as damning as the state audit. And I'm telling you that there is going to be a real significant ability for the feds to say, high-speed rail authority botched this so badly that they broke every rule of their agreement. And that's going to, I think, kick in a very significant clawback one way or the other. The other idea that somehow we're going to magically lay a bunch more track other than the Amtrak rights of way going up to, I don't know where, Tracy or Altamont. I have been in public hearings over and over again with this authority, and they have basically said their plan B is essentially to deed all of this expensive concrete to Amtrak, and we're basically going to have a very expensive upgrade to Amtrak with no appreciable speed and no real quick valley-to-valley connection.
Jim Patterson, you're going to stay with us for a bit?
I can if you want me to.
Yeah, we'd like you to stay, and we'd also like our listeners to join in here. In fact, let me ask you if you have questions or if you have comments to join the program. You can do that now, toll-free. 866-733-6786 is the number to call. 866-733-6786 or email forum at kqed.org. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're talking about the future of high-speed rail with KQED News. Jim Patterson's with us on phone, California State Assemblyman, and Dan Brecke here in studio with KQED News, and Egon Terplan, also here in studio, Regional Planning Director for SPUR, San Francisco Bay Area Planning and Urban Research Associations. And again, we will go to your calls and emails forthwith here. I'm just going to ask Dan Brecke, though, because I spoke earlier about the fact that one thing that's certain in all this, with many uncertainties, is the environmental reviews are going forward. At least Governor Newsom made that perfectly clear. That's a stipulation for the federal funding. But if they go through, we're talking about, many people think, a lot of lawsuits up ahead.
Well, people are concerned that once an environmental review is in place, it actually kind of nails down route options, then that will put everybody on notice about, okay, where is this thing going, and is my ox going to be gored? If my ox is going to be gored, where's my lawyer? which is, you know, the lawsuit process you're talking about. You know, it's an interesting thing. I, again, talking to people about this general subject of high-speed rail, how come the United States is 55 years and counting behind Japan on this? And one of the things is I was told was, hey, you know, if you want to understand why there's no high-speed rail in the Northeast Corridor, where the density would make a lot of sense to have that kind of service, it's all about the litigation that would be unleashed. So, yes, that's what's expected here. And, you know, there are other aspects of this about whether, you know, our environmental review process, you know, Aegon was just saying this when we were off the air, is something that really imposes some real difficulties on major infrastructure projects.
Looking at a question from Pat, who wants to know how much money is needed to complete the Merced to Bakersfield high-speed rail. I think it's about $10.6 billion as the crow flies, then?
What, for the funding for the
First leg, yeah.
I was thinking it was in the $12.6 billion range, but, you know, to be honest, I don't know exactly.
Ev Dirksen used to say, what's a couple billion here and there?
It's a lot.
No, I'm joking. It is a lot, indeed. Don't mean to make fun of it, but sometimes those figures just don't square. Let me go to our callers, and let's begin, Rob, with you. You're on the air. Good morning.
Thank you. This is really a joke. I'm so tired of thinking of all the excuses that California is going to come up with for why we can never build any big infrastructure projects anymore. We used to build things like the Golden Gate Bridge, Highway 5 that links, you know, the Mexican border all the way up to Oregon. We can't do anything anymore. I knew this was going to happen. We all knew this was going to happen. It was going to become a boondoggle, mostly for well-connected people in the construction business or lawyers or somebody. This needs to be shaken up. And I'm glad that Gavin Newsom stuck a fork in this thing because it's done. You guys need to get your act together before we give you any more money. This just has to stop, this process, the way it's become such a joke.
Rob, appreciate hearing from you, and let's hear from Aegon Turplin on your comments.
Well, I think that the question is, it's difficult to do things because we've been constantly hammering at the ideas for it and litigating the idea of it for ever since it began. We could have, from the outset, made a series of decisions that would have made this much easier. Like, for example, saying that this is a project that's fundamentally going to help solve climate change for California, and maybe saying it doesn't need to be subject to the same environmental reviews that we were just talking about that have significant costs and time delay. We didn't make that decision. And so we could go back and look at steps that could have been taken to make this easier. But I think, to your point, we used to do big things. We still can. And part of, I think, what we have to do now in this era of seeming pessimism is remain optimistic that we can actually accomplish these big things that are difficult, that have challenges associated with them, and this is a step towards a larger peace.
Well, do you see this, again, as some connect this to the Green New Deal? I mean, eventually they want to do, and this is being done in high-speed rail throughout the world, you know, to limit the amount of air travel or at least to cut into that and diminish it.
Right. I mean, I think we haven't said yet in this hour, what's the alternative to high-speed rail? And in none of this conversation, what's the alternative economic development strategy for the Valley? What's the alternative movement of people all throughout California for this? The alternative is actually much more expensive when you add up additional lanes on I-5, and 99 air, you know, expansion of the airports, and of course then the environmental climate impacts associated with all of those things. So we have this target on one particular project, and so we can accomplish it. Something is actually happening, and there is funding for close to 200 miles within the Central Valley in hand at this particular moment.
Well, let me bring another caller in hand here. Maddie, join us. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. You know, Central Valley politicians complain that this was something really designed to benefit San Francisco and Los Angeles. But the Central Valley economy is really intimately tied to the cities on the coast, and goods and produce that are created in the Central Valley are sold there, and raw materials for manufacturing come in through the ports. And so, you know, the initial Central Valley segment doesn't make any sense from the perspective of who's actually going to ride the train and from the goals of reducing congestion on the 5 and reducing reliance on air travel. It really was planned as pork for Central Valley Republicans who just wanted jobs related to construction. And now they're complaining that the plan makes no sense. So this is kind of like Now, Road to Nowhere, that was created for pork purposes rather than planning purposes. And now everybody's saying, oh, my goodness, look, we realize that a train from Bakersfield to kind of Merced doesn't really make sense. So I'm interested in what the guests have to say.
Yeah, I'm interested in what you have to say, Assemblymember Patterson.
Well, I mean, where do I begin with that kind of nonsense? I mean, honestly, we have, who told, I mean, this hasn't been pork for us. We got this thrust on us. This was pushed on us. Jim Costa, a Democrat, was the one that pulled all of the strings. It was the Obama administration that threw a bunch of billions of dollars at a high-speed rail authority that messed up what they're doing here. And this notion that somehow we're supposed to be grateful for some kind of economic development, this is economic destruction. If you rip up our agriculture and if you rip up our city and then you don't connect us to anything that matters other than a very expensive upgrade to Amtrak, we have been the guinea pig in this. And so, I mean, I and number one, and number two, people are so easy to flip around with the facts. I've been involved in this since I was the mayor of Fresno. I've been here 6 years in this legislature. I know more about the inside problems of high-speed rail than most anybody, including, I think, the guest that keeps happy talking this whole thing. He keeps saying that there's money for this Merced. Where does he get his facts? There is no money to do what the governor said they're going to do. And unless he can find a billion here and there, this thing ends with a rump railroad from just outside Madera to just outside Bakersfield.
Again, is there some revenue that you know about that we should discover here? I think that's what the assembly member is asking.
I think clearly we make allocations on revenue on an annual basis. And so this is about actually commitment and priority. And I would actually push or ask the assembly member, you're speaking to this very much in a way that it would be beneficial were it to connect to the coast. And so I would ask you then, why not then make the case of how we make that happen? Part of this is about presenting a larger story of how this can be beneficial. And if we are able to do that, we are able to make a commitment as a state to some of the caller's points. California did things before. We built a lot of our highway system with our own funds because we decided those were priorities.
All right. I
think it's you, Jim Patterson.
When did I ever suggest something about the coast, et cetera? I mean, people are putting words in my mouth here, and quite frankly, I have other things to do than sit on this phone much longer and have this happy talk nonsense and absolutely no fact-based in any of this. I'm going to tell you something. Leadership is vision that cash flows, and this has not had leadership. It does not cash flow. We have been sold a bill of goods. None of the projections with respect to the ridership is going to come true. And how in the world do you build a high-speed interconnection between L.A. and San Francisco when you stop in Merced and Fresno and Hanford and Bakersfield? So please, we are so tired of being lectured to by people who have utterly no idea of what's been going on in our backyard for a long period of time. And now we are basically, the governor looks at our watch and tells us what time it is, and we're supposed to be grateful that he has recognized this thing ends between Madera and Bakersfield. We are so sick and tired of being lectured to by people who have utterly no stake in what's going on here and are leaving us with a ripped-up city. I'm sorry. I think I need to get on with the business of doing some of the representation up here. And if you don't mind, I think I'm going to leave the line.
All right. Well, appreciate your spending this time with us, and we will go to more of our callers. We go next to Greg in Oakland. Greg, you're on the air.
Oh, that's a shame. I was just interested in asking a question to the assemblyman, but I'll ask it anyway. The question is, how much have we spent to date on this project? What are some of the biggest expenditures in that spending? And is there anything that we could have done differently that would have made this project work?
Let me go to Dan Brecky. Dan?
Well, at least $2.7 billion has been spent. That's just the federal share of it. There have been other allocations, for instance, from the the carbon. I'm going to call it the carbon tax, even though that's not quite the right term for it. And I'm not sure exactly how much from the state side has actually been spent in that yet.
There's still a lot of money that has to be spent, though, isn't there? I mean, they're talking about a station. They're talking about maintenance.
There's a lot of.
Just talking about the first leg of this.
Oh, yeah. No, you need rolling stock. This is a highly complex and very advanced piece of technology, even though it's existed in the world for more than half a century. There's a lot that needs to be done. And I'm not sure how many stations. I think there are somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 to 6 stations on that segment. That could change depending on whether, money comes in to actually expand it beyond this segment.
I'm going to read a tweet from Carl who says the brilliance of high-speed rail is in unifying the Central Valley and joining it with Sacramento and San Jose. The Valley can come into its own economically and politically. There are more than enough San Francisco to L.A. transport options and too much peninsula drama. Now, what about the whole question of passengers? I mean, they keep bringing that up over and over again, Dan Brecky. Are there going to be enough passengers?
This is always an imponderable. Well, listen, I'm going to say something stupid here. When the service is there, people will ride it, okay? You can attack any transit service based on ridership, based on the fact that transit and transportation services generally need subsidies. That includes highways, by the way. And, the ridership projections that were originally put out there for the state, the connection from L.A. To San Francisco are very high. But we're nowhere near even discussing that at this point because the projected date before the governor spoke the other day for finishing that statewide system was 2033. My feeling about hearing a date like that and ridership estimates is I hope I live long enough to see it.
Egon?
Well, just to build up on the idea of ridership, what we know from transit throughout the United States and transit and high-speed rail globally is one of the keys to ridership is building a lot of stuff around your stations. And that's what we know from Japan. That's what you know from European examples. And so in California, the piece that we haven't really discussed is the how do you revitalize the downtowns and the cities and make sure that there's a lot of office buildings, hotels, housing development around the actual stations. And that is what the groundwork is laid for that. And that's one of the keys to generating ridership. And frankly, that ridership exists today on some of these slow trains, as the assembly member mentioned, and would certainly go, the ridership would grow much more significantly as train speeds increase.
And let me bring some more callers aboard. Jake, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Good morning. My name's Jake. I'm actually from Hawaii. I'm calling from San Anselmo right now, but I'm actually from Hawaii. And we've run into an issue in Hawaii that's very similar, it sounds like, to what you're running into here in California with the high-speed rail project. And my question kind of goes along the lines of this is not new technology. It's definitely the way the future is going, particularly with the environmental consequences of commuter traffic. And has anyone taken a look around the world and kind of seen how the Europeans have put it together, how the Japanese have perfected it, and kind of tried to mimic the best of what they've got going on? Because clearly they're way ahead of this than we are here in the States.
Yeah, well, again, you've done Inspira a good deal. So you mentioned Japan before, in fact.
Absolutely. I mean, we were in Japan last summer, and we took a delegation of people in San Jose to look at kind of rail and rail stations in the Netherlands and France. And you see a couple of things that we don't do and we don't have in California. And we just mentioned two of them. A lot of those places have a state rail agency that's focused on interconnecting rail all across their country. They call it a state in that context. And it's not just high-speed rail. We keep talking about just this as one project, forgetting that, quote, Amtrak in California is actually funded by the state of California. And once you get people onto these faster, dedicated train tracks that are electrified, it's a lot cheaper to run those trains. So there's a massive upfront cost. So that's the first thing, is actually having a state system that the different pieces connect to. The second one is a lot of the rail operators are also involved in the real estate development business and, frankly, in Japan, are turning a profit. They own department stores, they own hotels, they own office buildings directly at the stations. Yes, they have a lot of ridership, but it's a feedback loop. They have great activities and things that you can do around the station, so people want to come to the stations, they ride the trains, they get off, they spend money on the other side, and it becomes and that's actually what we haven't quite done that in California. We expect the train to be able to operate without a subsidy, but haven't given them the authority exactly to be able to generate the kind of business and activity and what we call it value capture in the transportation and planning business around the stations.
Well, I mentioned passengers before, and Dan Brecky said something that wasn't stupid at all. I mean, about you build it and they will come. And there's some data on this that I found pretty fascinating in terms of other rail systems throughout the world. If you're talking about 600 miles, you're talking about competition with other means of transportation. If you're talking about 300 miles and under, it turns out that rail is dominant. I mean, that just is a fact.
Yeah, well, that's one thing people cite about the initial Japanese high-speed trains between Tokyo and Osaka. The Japanese railroads are a very interesting example because the government actually did build the railroads. I mean, it was a national company, government-owned, that built things and took them to a certain point, and then they were privatized. And these four regional corporations that now run the railroads there are considered to be very successful at this point.
Well, Steve wants to know, where does California rank in cost per kilometer for high-speed rail versus other first-world nations? Do we know?
Excellent question.
Well, this is actually a national phenomenon as well, that we are, as a country, we build a lot of our transportation projects on a cost per basis much more expensive than other places. And this was an issue in New York City with the Second Avenue subway. And I would say to that, part of this has to do with literally being better at delivering, at project delivery. Something we talk about a lot in our work of making sure that we simply can deliver projects more effectively, more quickly. And a lot of this is a learning process. We haven't done this before. And so we should remind ourselves that it's not an excuse, but it's a recognition that if we want to be able to have those kinds of systems, we also have to have the delivery system that makes it happen.
And Egon Terplan, again, is Regional Planning Director for SPUR, the San Francisco Bay Area Planning and Urban Research Association. A listener writes, why not work on improving what we have regarding rail service? Currently, on the routes to Tahoe and Santa Barbara, you have to change to a bus. Let's lower our expectations and shoot for some realistic goals.
Well, high-speed rail is part of the answer to that. I mean, not going up to Tahoe, but, we've been talking about the San Joaquin, which is a California Amtrak train that goes from Oakland and actually takes a route through the Delta and down through Modesto, Fresno, and down to Bakersfield. If you want to go someplace like Pasadena, as my wife did recently, you change to a bus and you go over I-5, over the Grapevine and to your destination and beyond Palm Desert if you want. That's an ask. That's a big ask for people to do that, and that's why you don't see that. But the vision here is for a rail network that would make that trip. I mean, it's actually in Prop 1A. It would be no longer than 2.5 hours from San Francisco to Los Angeles.
A tweet from Eric. California should have had German, Japanese, or Chinese firms that have built high-speed rail manage the project. Going it alone with no experience was the final flaw. And there was a lot of criticism about not bringing in Chinese or French. It was a kind of an exclusion almost, wasn't there, Dan?
I'm not sure it was an exclusion. Yeah. I think the Rail Authority has been reaching out. They've been looking for overseas expertise because those are the places that have actually done it and done it well. I mean, the TGV in France, I think there have been German companies consulted, and I believe Chinese companies as well.
And there's also the,
I think that, there was an argument that there were too many consultants, but that they should have had more consultants who were French and Chinese than they had. Yeah, Egon.
Well, right. I think the German train company has also been advising, and that's been brought in much more recently. And there's actually all throughout California. Remember, there's a lot of other rail systems. Caltrain hasn't come up in this conversation yet, but it's in the process of being electrified. Part of that, and there's been a lot of expertise brought to bear on delivering that as that particular project going forward, and it's actually underway.
Here's a listener who says we need high-speed rail. He or she says, I was shocked to hear the rail program is being held up, canceled, or slowed. The commute from Merced and Stockton is gridlocked into the Bay Area. Constantly funneling money into roads has led nowhere.
Well, there's a train service from Stockton to Silicon Valley called ACE. And I think Altamont Corridor Express, although I guess it's arguable how express it actually is on some days. But that service has been wildly popular since day one. I mean, they sold virtually every seat the first day they rolled, and which is unheard of, actually. And I think that just proves the listener's point. There is a real appetite for less painful transportation experiences.
And that's a great example of a train that is wildly popular, but it's limited to four trains because of the fact that you're sharing tracks with the freight rail.
That's right.
So part of this vision is, how do we have dedicated passenger rail on a bunch of corridors throughout California?
And this is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio, and we remind you that we indeed not only want your support, we need your support. And for more information about how to support this radio station, the radio station, again, is KQED. I'm talking about those of you who may be listening on Sirius or are out of the range of the Bay Area here. You can simply go to kqed.org. I'm Michael Krasny. And we'll go to a few more callers here while we have a time. Carlin, you're up next. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. Could someone explain to me, please, why we keep talking about connecting this high-speed rail to San Francisco? You know, there is great connections between San Francisco and San Jose already, and it's getting better all the time. You just mentioned the electrification. Why doesn't the high-speed rail just stop in San Jose? That's the city that has all the ability to expand, build new infrastructure, a new station, new support. San Francisco does not have that, and the fight to get that high-speed rail across the heavily residential area of the Bay Area is just going to be impossible.
Ah, Caitlin, the rivalry again emerges, San Jose and San Francisco.
That's exactly the vision. The vision is that high-speed rail would come up the Central Valley and then from Madera out, cross over the Pacheco Pass, Route 152 into Gilroy, and then north to San Jose. So that's the vision.
Yeah.
That's the vision. There is a train also over the Altamont Pass that exists, but part of the question is, how do we then continue with that vision that connects into Diridon Station? Let's remind, where a lot of all these other train connections already take place. Capital Corridor, ACE, BART is going to be coming there, Caltrain is there, and there's significant vision for close to 30,000 jobs just at that train hub itself. So that's exactly the kind of place that additional train service makes a lot of sense.
Let me thank Carlin for the call, and we'll go right to another caller. That's Tom in Santa Clara. Tom, join us.
Yes. In the beginning of the segment, the speaker mentioned Newsom and Trump were kind of half right and half wrong about the $3.5 million or billion dollars. So what was the reason? Why would Trump or the federal government, why would they be able to take that money? What was right and wrong about that? I didn't catch that in your discussion.
Well, Dan explained that very well earlier on. I mean, they're both right and they're both wrong, I think is what you put it.
Well, so the federal government has given California a $3.5 billion grant, or two grants worth $3.5 billion, to be used for this purpose, building this segment, as it turns out, of the high-speed rail network. And California has until the end of 2022 to make good on the conditions of the grant to get it built. However, so the president simply doesn't have the power to say, give us the money back, we want it. On the other hand, if the state doesn't get that link built or that segment built by that deadline, then you're in uncharted territory, and the federal government could claw back the money, as Assemblyman Patterson was putting it.
Let me thank you for the call, Tom, and let's hear next from a caller in Los Angeles. That's Jeffrey. Join us.
I wanted to point out that, first of all, the trackage in the Northeastern Corridor from Washington to Boston is owned by Amtrak, or the National Rail Passenger Corporation. So the point of litigation that was brought up is a moot point. Secondly, if we have passenger service in Los Angeles, as far north as Lancaster, California, we have trackage that goes from Lancaster to Bakersfield that could easily be used as a segment for additional passenger service to Bakersfield and provide a viable link for this stretch of high-speed rail that's being built from Madera or perhaps Stockton to Los Angeles. And I think if the western part of the high-speed rail was built across the Pacheco Pass to join up at San Jose with the 50 miles of electrified track that Caltrain is building that will be open by 2022, this thing could be made into a quite a viable system, maybe not as fast as the Clay Grand Vitesse operated by Société Nationale Chemin de Fer in France, but at least it will be an improvement over no rail service that we have between Los Angeles and Bakersfield.
Jeffrey, we just got seconds left here, and Dan Brecky, you want to just give your outlook from what you heard from Jeffrey?
Well, listen, the segment he's talking about from Bakersfield to Los Angeles is very challenging. There are mountains to cross there. There's major, I think there's major tunneling work contemplated to make that happen. I do not honestly know how it would tie into any rail segment that exists up through Lancaster, which is sort of on the edge of the Mojave Desert.
Let me thank you for the call, Jeffrey. We'll leave it there, and we'll thank our guests, Dan Brecky, Egon Terplan, and also Jim Patterson, who joined us as well. And thank you, our listeners. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, and this is Valentine's Day, and there's a whole hour coming up about love and relationships. Stay tuned for that. We're having relationship expert Judith Gottman on. KQED Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Tina Larberg, and Susan Britton. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll, and our engineer is Danny Bringer. Engagement producer is Amanda Stupai, and we get online support from Amanda Font. Our interns are Caroline Smith and Sam Klein-Markman. Our executive editor is Ethan Lindsay, and our chief content officer is Holly Kernan. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of the Minetti Schremm Museum of Art at UC Davis. On view through April 14th, Blue and Yellow Corridor, an iconic work by Bruce Nauman, realized on the very grounds where the artist conceived it.